Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. It's me, Eric, and my friends talking about what we think are kind of interesting things in the eclectic DIY world. I have this podcast and a companion YouTube channel. Today, we're going to be talking about excerpts from a book, Manage Your Day-to-Day, Build Your Routine, Find Your Focus, and Sharpen Your Creative Mind with my friend, Nicole. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. You all have to thank Nicole for the podcast, basically, because she just sends me stuff and says, let's talk about this on your podcast. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I'm here for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, I have to
figure out how to say thank you better.
I'm one of your 1,000 fans. Yes.
Well, speaking of that, there is Nicole forwarded me an email from a email newsletter called Book Freak, which is run by the people that do the Cool Tools YouTube channel and podcast, and Mark Frauenfelder, who used to be part of
Make.
What was that other website?
Make.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's
and,
a maker.
Anyway, he's part of Cool Tools now, and he reviews books every week and sends out an email, and this is from that. So we'll link to signing up for that email, and I'll also link to the book here.
Well, I think that this was an action-forcing event for him. Like, I think he said at the beginning of Book Freak that he wanted to read more books. So he's like, I'll just start a newsletter where I, you know, give you a couple takeaways from every book I read.
And I love the summary of basically what Book Freak is. Short pieces of advice from books.
Right.
That's like a 3-second elevator pitch.
Right.
That's perfect.
Yeah, sign me up. It's free too, which I also
I'm trying to figure out how to describe Garden Fork, and I always struggle. So.
Eclectic DIY is what I tell people.
All right, cool.
Okay.
So, side note, we're going to have some follow-up shows on the electric car experience. I didn't want the podcast to turn into Eric's life story about his electric car, but Nicole has an electric car, I have an electric car, and I'm learning a lot, and we'll do a follow-up show about that coming. If you have an EV, I'd like to hear from you. There's a couple that emailed me that they have a Tesla and RadPower bikes, and I lost your email. And could you send it to me? Because it's radio@gardenfork.tv because I'd love to have you on the show. All right. So
All right.
Four pieces of advice for managing your day-to-day.
Okay. So I liked this. What I like about this is that I don't have to read the book now. I've got the best parts of it right here. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I should read the book. Get it from your library. The first one was draw a line between the world's demands and your own ambitions. If you want to create something worthwhile with your life, you need to draw a line between the world's demands and your own ambitions. I guess he just restated it. I love that, though, because I can't tell you how many days are spent in meetings. And there's that adage, like, could this meeting have been an email? Could this email have been like a short phone call? Could the short phone call not have happened?
Like,
we're all in all these meetings and we don't need to. And so I encourage my friends to block their calendars. Just pretend like they're in meetings.
Oh,
yeah.
I wonder if the camera operator does that. She shows me her calendar and it is multicolored little rectangles over every day for a month.
Yeah. If you need time to think deeply, you have to like create that time yourself. So, always having a long to-do list. I mean, the thing I do is I do my to-do list and then I get focused on getting that done instead of the most important thing, which is at the top, which is write, because I'm a writer. So I should be writing every day, but sometimes I'm like, well, or I could fix the hamper, you know?
Yes. I was having kind of an allergy, not allergies, got the best of me yesterday. And then I was kind of recovering from that. I didn't want to run power tools because I'm still doing work in the building. But I was like, oh, I could fix this door hinge.
Nice.
And so I managed to do that. So the world was demanding a lot of other things. I'm like, I'm not feeling 100%, so I'll fix the door hinge. And that was like, then I felt like I got something done. So that was good.
That's good. Just do the next little thing. Okay. All right. So the next thing on this email list is think long term. So I do this with my writing a lot. I have a calendar that I write down how many words I've written. And so every day I can see it, you know, increasing. So it says, we tend to overestimate what we can do in a short period and underestimate what we can do over a long period, provided we work slowly and consistently.
Yes. I love this because this is part of, which we've talked about before, is 1% to infinity, which is I'm a big believer in.
Yes.
I can't find a lot of information about it online, but I learned it from the Food Blogger Pro people and their podcasts. But tiny steps every day over time end up to be a monumental, a marathon, essentially. You know, if you do 1% of a project every day, after 100 days, you're done with the project.
I think the flip side of this is definitely true, too, that sometimes if I say to the kids, you have to clean up your room, they're like, you know, there's the whining. But I'm like, listen, I'm going to put the timer on for 15 minutes. Let's just get it as clean as we can in 15 minutes. And by the end of the 15 minutes, they're like, oh, actually, we did pretty good, Mom. You know?
Wow. I need to hire someone to do that to me.
Yeah, just put the timer on for 15 minutes. And they're like, okay. I guess it's the same as like, put your running stuff on and go out for 5 minutes. If you're not feeling it after 5 minutes, then go back home. But usually, you're like, keep going. You'll just keep going.
I have the same thing with my exercise. I exercise just about every day. It really helps with the bouts of sadness. And it can be 20 minutes of my favorite YouTube channel, HasFit. They've got shorter exercise programs. And I'm like, once I get going, once I start doing the warm-up, I'm like, oh, I only need to do this for 20 minutes and I'm done. So I do overestimate what I can do in a short period of time. Like I'm going to help a friend of mine. He has a tool shed, you know, one of those Home Depot kind of tool sheds in the backyard. And it's got what I call asphalt shingles, you know, those lap suburban shingles. And he wants to put a tin roof on it, like a barn roof.
Okay.
And he doesn't know how to do it. And I'm like, this is not rocket science, you know? He goes, well, how do we do this? I said, we could do this in a half an hour. And then I realized after I said that, I'm like, oh, maybe it might be 2 hours. But when I look at projects like that, I'm like, oh, we can whip this out in no time. The hardest part is cutting. It's that corrugated tin.
Yes.
So it kind of laps together and then you just screw it in. And he's already got, I call them runners. I don't know what you call the sleepers or whatever that go under the tin roof on top of the asphalt shingles below the tin. And then you just put one of those pieces of V-tin across the top and it's done. I mean, it's a woodshed. It can't take that long. But I do oftentimes overestimate what I can get done in a short amount of time.
Oh, you do the opposite. Okay, so, but why is he doing that? Your friend.
Putting the tin on?
Yeah.
Instead of reshingling the roof, a tin roof will last forever.
Okay.
As long as you paint it, a tin roof will last forever.
All right.
And just use Rust-Oleum outdoor oil-based metal paint and paint the heck out of it.
Oh, yeah. Our painting project continues slowly.
Of course it does. But over time, you're going to get it done, right?
I don't know. I may end up paying somebody. But I brought up paying
like
somebody,
right now,
and the boys were like, no, Mom, we can do this. And I was like, well, in order to do it, you actually have to take the paintbrush to the fence.
Oh.
Yeah. But Mom, we're in all these camps. It's still my fault.
If you're curious about what's going on in Eric's brain, maybe consider becoming a patron of the show. Every week I post between 1 and 10, depending on what I'm doing with the app, just photos and thoughts and what I'm working on kind of stuff. Also the after show, which is basically the third half of the regular Garden Fork Radio podcast. So think about that. Cup of coffee a month, a lot of Eric. You might not want that, or you might, or you just want to like buy me a cup of coffee or month. That would really be cool. Appreciate that. Information is below and at patreon.com/gardenfork. Thank you.
Anyway, okay, moving on. What were you about to say, Eric? I'm sorry.
Well, overestimating, I have a spring in the back of my property that has a cistern, and there's a pump house halfway up the hill, and I pulled the pump out thinking I could hook it up in the basement instead of the pump house, and that didn't work. And I'm like, I'll just reinstall the pump. It'll take a half hour. It's taken me several hours over 3 days, and I still can't get the pump to prime.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, this should take 15 minutes.
Well, was it working before?
It hasn't worked in a year because I rebuilt the spring and the cistern over the pandemic. I built a new tin roof. My neighbor was redoing the metal roof on his barn, and he had a ton of metal roofing, and I just sanded off the rust spots and hammered it back flat again. And I was like, this would be perfect for my cistern and spring. So I built that over the pandemic, and then I reinstalled the pump in my basement, but it's called Rise Over Run. It's a 25-foot rise, but the run is about 100 feet. So the pump, I'm kind of hitting the maximum that pump is able to do at that point. So the pump house is halfway between those two points, so it's a much easier pull for the pump.
Okay.
But it's a shallow well jet pump, and I've never dealt with this kind of jet pump before, so I finally went online, and I'm going to retry priming the pump. But again, I was like, this should take an hour. Why is it taking, part of 3 days? And it's in the wood, the pump house in the woods, and it's kind of a wet environment, and the mosquitoes are bombarding you, and the deer flies are bombarding you. So, I just need to focus on the long term there.
That sounds miserable. I'm sorry about that.
It's a first world problem, you know?
I know. At least we have water. All right, so this moves on to the good next one, which is sleep is more important than food. Sleep is more important than food. Yes. You can go a week without eating, and the only thing you'll lose is weight. Give up sleep for a couple of days, and you'll become completely dysfunctional. It's so true.
Oh yes, the sleep deprivation is a kind of torture, actually.
Oh, it's horrible. So when Oscar and Otis were born. Well, before the oldest was born, Brent read someplace about platooning. So I guess this is what you do in the army, is you sleep in shifts, like if you're in a war. And the idea is you're sleeping in shifts, so everybody is getting enough sleep. And this baby book recommended doing this with kids, because that was the biggest problem, was getting enough sleep. And so we just like set sleep as our like highest priority. Like if we never wake a child ever. And then we made sure that we got enough sleep. So it's funny though, because, you tell people, I always sleep 8 hours, and they just look at you like, well, how can you do that? And I was like, I put my head down, I put the screen down, and I sleep, because if I don't sleep, then I'm a nightmare. It's just not a good thing.
Yes. A full night's sleep is very important for your mental health. I had this recent aha moment thanks to my sister. My sister and I both have mild asthma and some allergies. And she takes her allergy pill. It's a 24-hour, allergy mm-hmm. pill, one pill a day kind of thing. She takes it right before she goes to bed. And she does her albuterol inhaler just before she goes to bed. And she says, you should do that. So I started doing that, and I sleep all night now.
Oh, isn't that nice?
I used to wake up at 2 a.m. and I stopped drinking. So a glass of wine at night or two glasses of wine at night, I would wake up at 2 a.m. and I couldn't go back to sleep for like an hour. And now I still have an occasional beer. I had a glass of wine the other night, but it's not every day like it used to be. And I sleep so much better. That and my allergy pills and Yeah, it's weird how just a couple little things can actually really help with your sleep. I think for some people, screen time is a big issue in getting the proper amount of sleep.
Oh, for sure. Well, how did you figure that out though, Eric? The correlation between the having a drink and not sleeping?
Oh, well, I knew before I still drink a little. I'm not.
Yeah, no, no.
You know,
yeah.
Like kind of like, hey, I'm a teetotaler, but I realized kind of in an observational way, I'm like, oh, whenever I have a drink or two, I'm up at 2 a.m. and I'm wide awake. And then I use the Headspace app has a sleep stories that are so boring, they put you back to sleep again.
Yes.
It does work.
My kids love them.
Oh, yeah. Let's go through the winery, the vineyard. I'll open the fence gate. And the gate has a top on it with a hook. And you're like,
oh,
you know,
God.
During the day you'd go crazy, but at night you're like, oh, this is so good. It's going to put me to sleep. So yeah, I have to thank my sister for my ability to sleep again. But maybe if you're taking an allergy pill, instead of taking it in the morning, take it at night. It might, I don't know if it knocks you out or what, but I think it helps me breathe better at night. So okay. I sleep better. If you're not breathing well, you do wake up. You know, if you have the, what's that thing where they have the fan blowing over their mouth?
Sleep apnea, the CPAP machine.
Sleep apnea.
In fact,
yeah,
I
have sleep apnea.
I went on a girls' weekend with some friends, and the one friend, she was, I mean, we could hear her snoring, and we were like, you've got to get a sleep test. So she got the sleep test, and now she has the CPAP machine. So sometimes yep. It just takes sleeping with somebody else. That sounds bad. But
platonic.
You know, she didn't know that she was snoring. So it was fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And the CPAP machines are getting better and better. So if you do need that, it can lead to a heart attack, I believe, or at least lapses in your heartbeat.
Yeah, totally. Well, you're right. They're getting better and better. And then if you have had one in the past, and, you know, you're like, oh, I hated that. Try the new ones. But also they have all different kinds of headgear now, so they don't bother you as much. So I have a different friend who has like, it's magnetic. So it comes off if you have to go to the bathroom, and it just goes over your nose. So it's really small. But anyway, like, yeah, that is incredibly important for your health. I mean, I think sleep goes to your heart health in total, right? Like you have to sleep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, sleep and water, hydration, because you can go without food for a week, but you need sleep and you need to drink water.
I have recently started trying to drink half of my body weight in milliliters of water a day. So I've been doing it for like 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, it's made me feel a lot better.
I drink water or iced tea, herbal tea. All day. I take the Tupperware, you know, kind of a clear Tupperware pitcher thing. I throw 4 bags of Celestial Seasonings. They have a ginger probiotic one. I stick it out on the window and then I throw it in the fridge. I stick it out there for like 4 hours because it gets direct sun. And then I put it in the fridge and then I just drink that over the next couple of days. It's kind of a way to drink water and it has some taste to it. And it's not in an aluminum can.
Yeah.
You know?
I love sun tea. I always forget about sun tea. That's a great idea. I should do that.
Yeah, because I mean, people are so used to just getting something in a plastic bottle or an aluminum can. And to me, that's just more, is it really going to get recycled?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I totally agree.
I mean, I'm so nuts about it. The camera operator gets an iced coffee and it comes in a clear plastic cup with a the new clear covers have this kind of elongated drinking hole instead of a straw.
Yeah.
And when she's done with it, I wash it out and I put it in the drain rack. And the next morning I bring it, when we go on our dog walk, I bring that washed out cup back to the cafe instead of getting another clean cup that's just going to go in a landfill again.
Well, our local coffee shops won't use reusable cups. Like before the pandemic, everybody, you got like a 10-cent discount or something, and that's nice that they've gone back to it because they haven't really here. I'm ready.
I have been to a donut place. I've stopped eating donuts, but during the pandemic, and they were like, I brought my to-go cup, and they're like, I have to pour it into one of our cups, and then you can pour it into the cup. And I'm like, holy cow. Hey, real quick, if you would like to help support the show, one way is to use the Amazon link for Garden Fork. I said that backwards. The Garden Fork Amazon link. It's in the show notes here. It's amazon.com/shop/Garden Fork. If you use that link, it'll take you to our shopping page. We can see the cool tools I use, cookbooks. I have several lists there of stuff. But also, by visiting that page, then going doing all your shopping, we get a finder's fee for whatever you shop for that day. That's really helpful. Amazon.com/shop/Garden Fork. Thank you. All right, so sleep more than food, but also hydrate. So which is the next, Nicole?
Accept that you are overwhelmed with possibilities. If you're like me, you have far too many things you want to do, read, see, test, and experience. Your inbox is a treasure trove of possibilities. To your creative mind, that's very enticing. It's easy for an optimist to get 50, 100, even 1,000 emails hovering in their inbox in the hopes that someday soon they'll get a chance to give each opportunity the precious time it deserves. But guess what? It's never going to happen. I guess it depends on how you use your email box. Like, my email box is my to-do list. I have three emails. I have a personal email. I have my work email for photography and writing. And then I have my Hotmail email, which is my junk mail. And you know, where I get my newsletters, my newspapers and whatever. And that way, you know, if I don't have time to look at the junk mail, it's fine, cause it's junk mail. Or it's not pressing, but the work email is great because I know for sure I need to respond to those because people need photos and what have you. And then the personal email, you know, is just what it says. And I can get to that when I need to or whatever. I'm a big believer in inbox zero or inbox like 15. So I use my inbox as my to-do list.
So inbox zero means that you empty out your inbox every day?
Yeah, or you just keep it. I mean, yeah, theoretically, I think the people who are real acolytes like empty it out every day. But like, I'm not one of those people who has 10,000 unread emails. That's not a thing for me. I read every email.
I have 15,000 unread emails.
Oh my God, you're killing me. So you just need to declare email bankruptcy. Have you heard of that?
No.
You set an auto reply that says, I've deleted every email and I'm starting over. If you have something pressing to tell me, email me again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Email bankruptcy.
a lot of it, like I've turned off notifications for a lot of sites and things that I'm a part of.
Yes.
And like Facebook, but Facebook, I can't. It seems like it's all or nothing with Facebook. So I get a lot of Facebook things, and I can see the subject line, so I don't bother opening the email. Like people that want to join the Garden Fork discussion group, every time someone wants to do that, I get an email from it, and I'm like, okay, I'm on Facebook once a week now, by the way, everyone. So it's just,
well,
I'm just not loving it there.
I have it all turned off on Facebook. Because you know, I run that bicycle group.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I have to check it. And I also have other admins who I think are more active on Facebook who can approve people too. But yeah, I have everything turned off on Facebook, like to the highest extent possible. I'm not there.
I'm also a part of Nextdoor because I think it's kind of a more civil version of Facebook, and maybe they're not being co-opted by evildoers to sway elections and things. And they, the summaries I get from them are kind of head slaps sometimes. Just the questions that my neighbors are asking online. And I'm like, can't you just look that up yourself? Cause it's gotten to that point where they want to find out about a subject. And then they're like, well, what do you think about this? Does anyone know anything about this? I'm like, you could look this up. I think they might just be lonely. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. But, yeah. I totally left.
But
I
it's It's a little more manageable.
I was an early adopter to Nextdoor because I read an article about them in Business Week. And then, unfortunately, in DC, Nextdoor has become a font of racism. So I am totally off of the Nextdoor. Yeah, I know. We can't have good things. Hey, no, positive. We're supposed to be positive here.
Yeah. I love that your inbox is a treasure trove of possibilities. And it is. I get stuff every day. And actually, the good stuff does surface to the top because I have really fantastic people around me like you. And Julia, who's one of the patrons, she's been emailing me and Rick. We're going to be talking about she has a flow-through worm farm. And she bought herself one. She bought the same one that Rick said. And she pitched us and said, I don't know if pitched is the right word, but she said, let's do a show about this. And so Julia thankfully is like, hey, guys, when are we doing the show? So we're going to record that tomorrow, me and Rick and Julia. But it's just kind of things like that, that I do like how they rise to the surface because basically people re-email me. So and I'm being too lazy, basically. But that's coming up.
Okay,
I am overwhelmed by possibility. Sorry,
I don't buy that you're lazy, but there's a lot to see out there, and you know I really reduced. We're on a news diet over here. We kind of stopped going to the websites. We don't watch news on the TV because so many things. I feel like there's nothing I can do about them. So I've got to just focus on the areas I could do things. Yeah.
I actually that could be something we'd talk about on the after show. I kind of had an aha moment this week about what I can and cannot do for the world and for our neighbors and stuff. So we'll talk about what I am going to focus on.
Okay,
so,
cool.
And also kind of by extension Garden Fork. But anyway, so I really like this. I like Book Freak is the newsletter. It's by the Cool Tools people. And Mark Frauenfelder writes it. They do have Amazon links to the books. You know, that's part of how they pay the bills, is if you want to read that book and you click on that, you can order it from Amazon or what is that other one that
Bookshop.
Works with bookstores?
It's called Bookshop.
Bookshop. Mm-hmm. If you do not want to use Amazon, I completely understand. And go to Bookshop and type in the zip code and find a bookshop near you, a bookstore. And you can order through Bookshop and the sale goes to your bookstore and you receive it in the mail. So it's and they have by helping local bookstores, they have put a ton of money back into local bookstores. And I really like that.
Yeah, I do too. They're great.
Yay.
All right.
So if you guys have some managing your day-to-day advice, I'd love to hear about that. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. Nicole, where can people find you?
Well, you can read a piece of my work in progress at nicoleharkinwriting.com. I'm writing about my grandmother's life. She was a World War II widow.
Oh, and we recently, I was CC'd on the email, but one of the Garden Fork Radio listeners bought one of your books and wrote to you about that.
Yeah, it was so nice, Bob. He was like, I didn't think it was my kind of thing, but it turns out I loved it, which was so lovely to hear. I really appreciated that.
Bob is active on the Facebook group. He wrote me a really great email. I wasn't feeling really good one day, and he wrote me an email about basically that he appreciated the stuff I do, and it really helped. It was one of those days that you just want to crawl in bed and eat donuts and watch Netflix. And I got this email. And so Bob, thank you again for that. Made me smile. So.
Yeah. Bob out there spreading happiness. I really appreciate him.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for your service, Bob. So, all right. Thank you everyone. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Nicole and I are going to stick around for the after show. If you're interested in becoming a patron, information about that is below in the show notes. So go out and do cool stuff. And make it a great day, all right? Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our producer is Sean O'Neill. If you need an amazing podcast producer, visit Sean's site, seaninbrooklyn.com. That's Sean, S-E-A-N, in Brooklyn.com. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.